Hallelujah. Aren't you blessed to be able to come together, people of like faith, and worship the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Glad to see each and every one of you tonight. Glad Sister Debbie's here with us. Hallelujah. It's always wonderful when God's family gets to just kind of practice a little bit what we're going to do out throughout all the eons of time. Amen. We're going to love on the Lord, love on each other, and just enjoy that fellowship. If you would, open up your Bibles to John chapter 6 and John chapter 1. Today is the fifth month of the year, the first day. So, you know, as I was praying and thinking about this, you know, the number five in Bible numerics means grace, and the number one means unity. So let's make a decree that I'm going to be one with grace. Come on, one with grace. If you and I are one with grace, it makes the impossible possible, because the grace of God is how we access through Jesus. Jesus is grace. That's how we access all the promises and the provision. Amen. So that's what we desire. That's what we want. What we're going to be talking about tonight is you and I as a group of believers who are hungry for fellowship with the Lord and hungry for His way and His work to be done in and through our lives, we got to come back to just very simple statements. Jesus, and now this, I know this will rub some feathers the wrong way, but if you've ever said, this Bible's too hard to understand, you need to repent. Because that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because why would God send us something that was hard to understand? The disciples had problems understanding before the Holy Spirit come, but Jesus said, what I've got to say to you, you can't bear it now, but when the Holy Spirit's come, I got a lot of things to say to you, and He's going to be your teacher and your guide. Amen. So if we've ever said that, we need to be honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord and repent of that and just say, I can understand whatever God wants me to understand. Amen. Because that's the truth. And so, but we need to get back to some very simple statements. And Jesus doesn't teach in a way that is difficult. He doesn't teach in a way that muddies the water. Jesus teaches and it brings clarity. Anytime that there's some things that aren't clear, it's because the devil is at work. I know that because I've seen times in my own life when I was searching so hard and I couldn't understand what the word was saying, and the devil was there to try to keep me from receiving it. Amen. And so the Spirit of God said, he dealt very strongly with me. He said, as I've made you the under shepherd to this group of people, He said, I want you to come back and give very timely truths, simple statements. And so to the best of my ability, that's what we're going to do. And I wrote these three things down. What we're going to look at tonight is timely truth, a simple Savior, and heaven or hell. See, we let the devil complicate things. And I was praying about this, and I was talking about, in my prayer time to the Lord, I was talking about, I've got a choice here and a choice there. And the Spirit of the Lord corrected me. He said, there's no such thing as a choice. There's the choice. It changes everything. See, I can either choose to listen to God or listen to, that's the choice. That's it. Anything else is confusion and is muddy water. Amen. All right. Bear with me. John chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse 41. Keep in mind, we won't read the preceding verses. This is where Jesus has just made a wonderful teaching about Him being the bread of life. But for sake of time, we got to constrain this. John 6 and 41. If you're there, say amen. The Jews then murmured. They grumbled at Him, at Jesus, against our Lord, because He said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Verse 43. Therefore Jesus answered and said with a suggestion, a commandment, murmur not. Grumble not. I've been getting in a lot of trouble in the last few months about grumbling. In Jesus' name, under the blood, amen. Murmur not among yourselves, verse 44. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him or her, and I will raise them up at the last day. Now quickly turn to chapter 1. John chapter 1, just turn over a few pages in your Bible or in your Bible app, verse number 12 and 13. John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, say he's talking about me, to them gave he power, authority, ability to become the sons and the daughters, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Say, I'm born of the will of God. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. And once again, thank you for being here. Now, a simple statement, something simple is something that is easily understood and it's easily entreated. It's easily applied. Amen. So you and I, when we don't hear man's interpretation of the word of God, but we hear, what the zest, what the core meaning of what the Bible says to us at that moment of time in our lives, that period of growth and all of those things, it's simple. We can take that word and we can apply it. We can live that word. And so, tonight, you and I, as we look at these verses of scripture, when we realize that Jesus is that bread, Jesus is the one that is going to sustain us, in every situation of life, we've got to make a choice. And that choice is the choice of not, settling for some other word. Come on. There's three heavens. Okay? There's a first heaven, there's a second heaven, there's a third heaven, there's three heaven ages, but the devil has his second heaven and he wants to keep you and I out of the third heaven. That's his goal, his desire. But you and I, we have the ability because Jesus is the open door to go through the second heaven, to penetrate that and get into the third heaven of reality and let God feed us truth. Amen. See, Adam and Eve, they were presented with the choice. Am I going to choose the tree of life or am I going to choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You and I, we're going to choose that tree of life, Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is this bread that is coming from heaven. And so I've got to make the choice to say, Lord, what are you going to feed me with today? I don't want to eat from this world. I don't want to eat from the table of devils. I want to eat from the table of the Lord, and I want to hear what you're saying to me because you've gave me power, you've gave me authority to be a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And so I'm going to choose and I'm going to choose wisely and I'm going to choose and let the Word of God just come into my life and just guide me. I'm going to let the Word sure me up, make me strong. I'm going to let the Word show me the direction that He would have me to go. Now the Bible says, Sister Victoria, put Ephesians 2:8 up there. We stand on this verse, we live by this, for by grace you are saved through faith, right? That channel. Okay. Are we on this? Did I just step into the twilight zone? For by grace, the grace of God is what has saved you. The grace of God is what has saved me. And so that's, I've got the authority to be a child of God by God's grace. And so the simple statement is from the Lord is that if God saved me by His grace, if I will stay in His Word, listening to His Spirit, He's going to keep me by grace. Amen. And so the channel of that grace flowing is simply I have to see that I've got faith that God has gave me. Come on. The Bible says in Romans 12:3 that God dealt to every person the measure of faith. So God not only gave me grace to be saved and become a child of God, but He gave me the faith to be able to believe Him. Isn't that something? So the simple statement is when the devil comes to you and says, "What, are you even saved?" Yes, devil, I'm saved. The simple statement is I made the choice. And I'm living by that. I'm not going to let the world confuse me. I'm not going to let the devil and his imps to try to deceive me. I'm going to live in this. I'm going to receive this gift. Jesus, Paul said that Jesus was the unspeakable gift. Isn't that something? You and I, we have a gift that is inexpressible in the natural, but by the Spirit, oh, the revelation is so real. It's so touching. It's so powerful. That's ours. And so we've got to come back to this reality, and we've got to live by this. And to go with me, and let's talk about this just a little bit. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, and let's see what Paul said, because we've got to learn how to talk to people. We've got to leave our... We need to put some of the church talk down and just get to where we can talk to people about Jesus in simple statements. Because if we're not careful, you and I, have you ever been around somebody like, you talk to somebody who's got a certain job and they're very familiar with that job and they're using their technical terms and they're telling you something about it, but you don't know what they're talking about because you haven't operated in that, you know. Well, if we're not careful, we get so accustomed to using terminology of church talk and all of these things that we leave people out. Jesus, he talked to people in a way of where they were at to lift them up. And so look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Aren't you glad? He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. So you and I, let's don't worry about trying to sound perfect or trying to sound a certain way. Let's just realize that God has called each one of us and he's sending us out into a lost world. And it's not about sounding full of wisdom or sounding a certain way that makes people look at us. No, we want them to look at Jesus. And so that's what Paul does. He brings forth this reality that it's not about all of the things that you and I know and the way that we present ourselves. Yes, we should present ourselves in the light of the gospel, but we got to be in the place where we make simple statements that if you'll just simply believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. Come on. With repentance comes salvation. Amen. Comes deliverance. And so with that repentance, it's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. And so we want to be able to help people because you and I, believe it or not, we go to church with people who go to church, but they may not go to heaven. This is important. So we've got to make sure that they're in the place that they receive the simple statements of the Lord and they get stronger and stronger. So hold that thought and let's go to Luke chapter 16 and let's just get some truth in our lives because we're in a place right now where people think they can make their own decisions. You and I, we have been, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us down about verse 19, we've been bought with a price. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that we are Christ. And Christ is God. So in other words, because of Christ, we belong to God. And so I have no right to make my decisions. See, that's why I said this morning, the way of a transgressor is hard. When I get to trying to plan my own life and I try to make my own decisions, come on, it disrupts the flow from heaven. It hinders the grace of God and all of those things. And it takes the joy out of salvation. It takes the blessing that the Lord wants to distribute in and through my life. It shuts it down. I don't want that. Do you? All right. So you have got to tell people, as the Spirit would lead you, if not with words, with actions, that their decisions is having an effect on their Christian walk. We're not judging people in the sense of lifting up our understanding, but we're being used by the Lord to help them see fruit in their life to see whether it's of God or not. Amen. Stay with me. Luke 16:13. Look what Jesus says. No servant can serve two masters. Now this word masters, here is curious, and it's the word Lord, and you, in 717 places in your King James Version Bible, it'll either be Lord or Lords. So think about this. No servant can serve two Lords. See, I've got to make up a decision. The choice. Am I serving Jesus or not? See, moment by moment, my walk is a moment by moment decision. No servant can serve two masters. He will hate the one and he love the other, or else he will hold to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It sounds so simple. Right? It's a simple statement out of the mouth of Jesus. But yet, talking to people this past week, there's a lot of people that are going through different battles because why? Because they're looking, at their life, they're looking at other people's life, and they're looking at how decisions are being made, not according to by thus saith the Lord, but by according to what will pad their pocketbook. What will make their home more financially secure? What will make their business successful? Well, a business that's going to be successful is the one that's going to be following after Jesus. Because anything that follows after anything else, even though it may look successful in this world, you and I, we know what's going to happen when the trumpet sounds. All of those things. You and I, we've got to be in that place, in that position. So we got to get back to the simple statements of telling people, listen, you're either serving Jesus, you're making the choice, or you're not. Now, I know I want to hear something that makes me want to run and makes me want to jump and makes me want to shout. I love to all of those things. But you and I, we're in a point of time right now where we've got to get serious about teaching and about preaching and about getting a host of people's hearts. Because there's going to be a whole generation that's going to be led astray and we're going to have to answer for it. So out of the mouth of Jesus, a simple statement. Are you in this situation, this choice, this decision you're making, is it serving God or is it serving mammon? Very simple. Very simple. And it's black and white. There's no confusion there. There's no misunderstanding. And so what we've got to do is help people realize that the devil will get them to looking at something more than that, adding to. Come on, what did Jesus say in the book of Revelation? He said, don't add to my word. Don't take away from my word, because if you do, the curses that are in it, they're going to come on you. We don't want that. Now hold your place here, and let's go over to 1 Timothy. And why can we be so comfortable in helping people to walk in this truth? Because you and I, we're in the place and the position that we know what the Bible says. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. 1 Timothy 6 and 6. Now we're talking about timely truth. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't you love contentment of the Lord? You know, I've been in the place where, I went and bought this and I went and bought that. And I was doing this and I was doing that. And I didn't have any contentment. I didn't have any peace. Had a lot of bills. Had a lot of questions about how I was going to meet those bills. And all of those things. But notice what he says. Verse number 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. This word certain means it's clear. No muddy water. It is clear that we can carry nothing out. Wow. But yet, look what we do if we're not careful. Everything that we do, day after day, we're making decision about what we're going to... Now, we're not talking about making a living. We've got to make a living and all of those things. We've got to occupy till the Lord comes. And you and I, we do things where we can give and we can support the work of the Lord and all of those things. But if we're not careful, we can get so overwhelmed in adding to our own life that subtly the devil has convinced us of a lie. We've believed a lie and we're serving mammon instead of serving God. And we're spending all of our time adding two things here, and then when we get to heaven, those things are going to be burned up here, and we're going to be with the Lord. Amen? And so we got to tell especially young people. Now, and we're not trying to discourage them. It's natural to want to better yourself. It's natural to want to have some things and all, and there's nothing wrong with that. But put it in the parameter of how God's leading you and leading your household. Please Him. You don't have to please man, but just please Him. And if we'll help them see that, if we'll show them that they can store great treasures in heaven, then guess what? They're going to do it. But they'll never do it unless we What? Unless we yield to the Word of God, we exhibit that, we live that before them, and we show them that it's a possibility. There's a situation, what I alluded to this morning, the Lord wants me to do for some reason, and I don't want to do it. And it finally brought to my understanding that if I will simply do that, I will be laying treasure up in heaven. And those hours that it's going to take to do that, by doing that, it's in a place where the devil can't touch it. And so I've got to make a conscious decision. Do I want to have that moment of time, that period of time where my flesh is at ease? Or do I want to be able to do something for Jesus and put it on the other side? I want to put it on the other side, don't you? Matthew 6:19. Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of Jesus, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Thank you, Sister Victoria. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to carry anything of this world out of here. So why not go ahead and what I'm occupying till he comes, why not lay up an account for the Lord Jesus Christ that's growing, that's getting bigger and bigger, that is for his glory. Amen? And so we've got to teach a generation. Right now we're losing a whole generation that is just concentrating on their life. Yes, I believe they've been born again, but they've never been taught that they have an opportunity to do something that will not be just for the moment, but it'll be for the eternal. Amen? Simple statements, timely truths to be able to live that will change everything. That's what I want, don't you? All right, so go back quickly to this Luke 16:13, and Jesus said once again, he said, no man, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or else he will hold to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot, it's not possible to serve God and mammon. Now, this word servant here, Peter talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 2, I don't know, somewhere around 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, I don't know. He says that as servants of God, that you and I, we are to serve God in fear. Fear. Now see, we've got it to a place where we've kind of put fear down. Now, you and I, we're not to fear the world. We're not to be fearful. But you and I are to reverence the Lord. We're to honor him. We're to have a godly reverence, a fear that even Jesus teaches us. He said, you better fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So I want to be in the place and the position where I help people see that they got to have a timely truth. They got to make a right decision. You and I, this life is not our own. God, he saved us for a purpose. And I can transgress if I want to. I can kick against the pricks. Paul kicked against the pricks for years. But when he finally submitted to the Lord, look what he done. We have almost 2/3 of this Bible because he submitted to the Lord. Amen. Just think, if you and I will submit to the Lord, what God can get accomplished through us before the coming of Jesus. Amen. Come on, it's possible. It's not only possible, it's going to happen. All right, we could talk more about that, but let's go and let's look at some things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, very familiar verses of scripture, you and I, we've got to get into the place where we see how simple Jesus' words are and how the devil complicates some things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse number, starting at verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11:2. This is simple, but it's so powerful. He says, Paul says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, Paul here, as he worked here in the church at Corinth, this church, they were on fire for God, but they'd come out of all sort of idol worship, all sort of heathenistic worship, and even though they were very enthusiastic about the Spirit and the gifts and the things of the Spirit, they had problems. They had sin that they had to deal with. You and I, we know who is the answer to sin. Amen. It's Jesus. And so, Paul here, he's concerned about them, and he says, I want you to make sure that you stay a chaste virgin to Christ. Now mark that down in your mind's eye. Verse 3. He said, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve. Now, this word beguiled, expatio, it means, in your Strong's Concordance, it's number 1818, double bondage. It means, to wholly seduce spirit, soul, and body. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to beguile you and I. He wants to deceive us. So, what he done, if you look at the temptations and the way that Eve and Adam, the way they fell into sin, it started with that word, and that word got a hold of their mind. And as it got a hold of their mind, then it got their body into action. And as it got their body into action, then they fell to that sin, and they were wholly seduced. Now he said, "I want to present you a chaste virgin." Now we know what seduction means. And we know what the context of a virgin is. So we need to tie this together spiritually. God wants you to be pure to Him. I mean, He doesn't want you and I to be messing around with any other gods, any other words that would hurt us. So I need to come back to the simple statement that you're going to meet the devil every day. This wasn't a one-time thing as He come to Eve. He come every day battling her mind. He come every day with that temptation. You're going to meet the devil. He's going to talk to you. And so you got to have the simple statements that I'm an overcomer through Christ. The greater one, greater is He that is in me than this spirit that's in the world. You got to have these simple statements to meet the devil head on, where you can stand strong and not be wavering back and forth, not be discouraged and all these things. And look what he says. But I fear lest by any means that as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity. What? The simplicity, the singleness that is in Christ. Simple statements. Christ wants you to understand what he has to say. And that the simple thing is that when the devil is coming to bring confusion and to make us try to reach out for something that we don't know what we're reaching for, the simple things of Jesus by the Spirit will show you and I the truth, will calm our heart, will settle us, will make us strong. Amen. Sister Victoria, put Romans 7:11. Let's understand this beguile just a little bit. Paul uses this word in chapter 7 as he's talking about dealing with a man who has fallen, that cannot live by the law. And notice what he says. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived, expatio, beguiled me. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. That's what the devil wants to do to you and I. He wants to what? He wants to expatio. He wants to deceive us. But his ultimate goal is he wants to kill you. See, but Romans 7 is all about Paul trying to live by the law. And then Romans 8, he finds out about grace. And he comes into a place of grace, living in the reality that Jesus has done in all points been tempted. And he overcome in every way. So the simple statement is, when the tempter comes to you, and what we've got to teach, especially young Christians, we've got to say, listen, when the tempter comes to you, Jesus knows how to overcome him. He can give you a word by the Spirit to where you can stand strong, where you can see the truth, where you can walk in victory, where you can decree and speak out victory. Amen? That's what we're desiring. That's what we're looking for. And that's what we've got to help people, because I hear the words of certain people. And when they talk, and I've done the very same thing, and I have to repent, they come in agreement with the liar. That's what the devil wants. Because see, whoever you and I are in agreement with, that's going to determine whether we're alive or dead, whether we're successful or a failure, whether we're walking in victory or defeat. Amen? And so I want us to be in that place, in that position where we see that the devil, he's trying to come after us. But the simple statements are that we're going to be able to overcome. We're going to be able to walk in a place of victory. Now, The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about chapter 1, that the devil, he wants to bring his devices against you and I. But Paul says for us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And that word devices is the devil has a mindset. He has a thought. His mind is continually working, and he's trying to create evil. See, out of the heart of God, God spoke, and when God spoke, come on, things were created. So the devil is trying to operate in a perverted manner of what he saw God the Father do. So the devil wants to bring devices, mindsets, thoughts, conceptions of words against you and I. But we can't be ignorant of that. We've got to know that he's wanting to do it, and we've got to come back to the simple statements of Jesus. In other words, when the devil comes to you and there's a negative thought comes across your mind. There's a stealing of hope. There's a stealing of peace. There's a loss of joy. What do you and I have to do? We have to come back and say, now, wait a minute. What does Jesus say about this? And when we come in agreement with what Jesus says, all of a sudden, that expatio, that one who wants to deceive us, wholly seduce us, he loses his ability to do it because we're staying that chaste virgin. In other words, we're protecting our heart. We're not opening it up to any other word than what God says. Amen? That's power. Okay. So, let's go to the Old Testament, work our way back to the New. Go with me to Psalms chapter 9, and let's talk about heaven or hell, because that's the choice. That's the choice. And there's a whole generation right now that believes that when you die, you're dead. And that's it. And then there's a part of that generation who they're not even concerned about the eternity, because the devil has them so consumed and so absorbed in this world about right now. And we know this world is going to burn up. Peter tells us that very clearly. And so let's compare and let's look at hell just for a moment, and let's look at heaven just for a moment, where we'll inhabit fresh in our spirit, and we can give people the choice. The choice. Because see, if we don't talk about it, we won't be able to have it in the forefront of our spirit to be able to share it with people. So let's look at first the negative, and then we'll go to the positive. Look at verse 17, Psalms 9. The wicked, those who are morally wrong. This word wicked means a person who actively does wrong. See, I do wrong sometimes, but I don't do it actively. I mess up. I make mistakes. But I'm walking in the light as he's in the light, and I have a promise. I have a covenant. He's cleansing me from all unrighteousness. But this person here, their heart is continually on wicked. And he said, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Why do you think that there's so much anger in the world right now? Why do you think there's so much in your face, and so much confusion, and so much fussing and fighting? Because they're getting farther and farther away from the peace of God, from the power of God, the love of God. And they're being turned away from what God has for them, and they're being given over to a reprobate mind. They're being turned into all of these other things. I want to be turned like Jesus, don't you? I don't want to be turned into, not just go to hell, but the Bible says they're being turned into hell. Come on, you look in the eyes of some people. Listen to their words. You can tell that hell is working in their life. They're deceived. They're discouraged. Death is right there. They don't know what to do. They're going through the motions. They're screaming out for something, but they don't know who to scream to. And so it's up to you and I, the church, to be able to present them with an option. They have to make a choice, the choice, but you and I have to give them an opportunity to do it. Amen? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations, all the people that forget God, that this word forget, from the Hebrew, it's oblivious. No choice. God is available. Romans chapter 1 tells us that if you never heard a message preached, that you had an opportunity to see God, right? Because of God's creation is screaming out the gospel. God is presenting an option there. And so those who are oblivious to God, he said, they're going to be in a place where they're turned into hell. Why do you think America is in such a mess? Because we're turning away from God and we're turning to the devil. And as we turn more and more to the devil and his lies and his work that's working in people's lives. And so we've got to stand up and give them an option. We've got to let the Lord that is greater, that is more than enough, love in us and through us. Go over to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Look at starting in verse 13. This is Old Testament type and shadow, but it's a very picture painting example of what's happening even within the church, because we know that in the last days there'll be a great falling away. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity. Why? Because they have no knowledge. Scary thought. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Notice what verse 14 says. If you don't have knowledge of the Most High God, therefore hell hath enlarged herself. Hell's getting bigger. Hell's growing. Now, they take statistics. Scientists do. I don't understand how they do it. I don't even know if it's accurate or not. But they look at birth rates as far back as we can calculate them. And according to those birth rates, they estimate that there's been about 115 billion people who has been born into this planet. And of course, as you and I are here tonight, we've got 7.5 billion people on this planet. And so that means that these other 107 billion people, they've then lived their lives and they're either in heaven or hell. Serious. So he's telling us that hell is enlarging itself. Why is hell enlarging itself? It's because people have left off the knowledge of the Most High God, the Holy God, the God that offers grace. Come on, this is that grace that you and I opened up with, that we're living by, that we're walking in, that we're believing for. And other people need to have that same opportunity. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened up her mouth without measure. Boy, we're seeing that today. Hell's talking. Hell's screaming. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled. And the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. All of these people who are talking against God and they're talking about against the church and all of these things, everybody that is coming against the God in you. Come on, it's not that they hate you, but they hate Jesus in you. They hate that spirit that is in you because it reproves them of their sin. And so you see that one day they're going to be brought down to a hell that is growing bigger and bigger. So let's you and I, let's be a part where Jesus said that he would add to the church daily such as should be saved. So what we do is we start every morning. We say, Lord, give me a simple statement. Where's the person today that you can lead me to that can make the church be added to? I want to stop hell from getting bigger, and I want heaven, come on, to have an opportunity to grow in the name of the Lord. I want a simple statement. See, God will give us a statement that will put you in a place, in a position where you can share the gospel, the good news, the truth with somebody that will bring them out of this mindset, that will deliver them from the mouth of hell and bring them to the place and the promise and provision of heaven through Jesus. Amen? Isn't that something? All right, turn over to chapter 14. Hallelujah. Look at, of course, this is talking about, really it's talking about the devil. You can study this out in your home study time, but it says in verse number 9, Isaiah 14:9, hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, and even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of nations. Now think about that. In other words, because evil is getting so predominant and because it's getting so accepted, like where if we'd read earlier in Isaiah 5 where evil was lifted up above good and darkness was accepted instead of light and all of those things, it causes hell to come up and to meet people. Well, you and I, we wanted to introduce them. We wanted them to meet Jesus. Amen. We wanted to meet the truth. But so we've got to show people that if hell is coming up to meet you, then you need a simple statement of truth to be defended by Jesus. He's your standard. He's your answer. He's the truth that will secure you. He's the truth that will deliver you. He's the truth that will hold you in His arms. Amen. And so it's so real. Look at verse 15. We won't cover just a little bit of this. He says, talking about the devil and those in this place and position, because the devil's talking about ascending above the heights of the Lord's throne. He says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So hell is a powerful place in the sense of, it swallows people up. There's an assurance that the devil is going there, and you and I want to be able to keep people out of that. One more, and then we'll go to heaven. Look at Proverbs 7:27. Now, this chapter 7 is very needed right now because we got a place where sexual sin is running rampant in the world. I'm sorry, it's running rampant in the church. Just being honest with you and just telling you the truth. And so that's what this 7th chapter is dealing with. But I want you to notice what it says. We'll just read one verse. Proverbs 7:27, talking about the house that leads to hell. It says, her house is the way to Sheol, the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now, this hell here, this Sheol, Hades, whichever word you want to look, Greek or Hebrew, it's a place of inmates. Study it out. Don't take my word for it. You study it out for yourself. It's the place of it's a prison. It's a prison. But not only that, the Bible's very clear, when you study it from the original language, it's not only a place of inmates in prison, but it's a place of all the accessories that got you there. Let that sink in just for a moment. Everything that works on my flesh, everything that works on my mind that's of the devil, that wants to pull me away from heaven, pull me away from God's truth, His Savior, those things are in hell. And I don't know about you, but the things that used to satisfy my flesh, you know, it took more and more and more to get the same fix that I got the first time, and then you never got the same fix, and you kept having to push the envelope. You kept having to go just drive a little faster. Come on, do a little more. All of these things, and we could go into detail, but we won't. But here I want you to see that. All of those accessories of the devil are there. That means if I end up going to hell, if I don't help somebody stay out of hell, the things that were driving them in the natural, in this life, it's going to drive them, come on, forever and ever and ever. Because see, when you turn into fire, when the second death happens, that's forever. Come on, I'm wanting us to be moved with compassion. I'm wanting us to get our minds on somebody else. I'm wanting us to see how serious this life is and what we need to do. He said, her house is the way to hell and the going down to the chambers of death. Now let's think about this just for a minute, and we're going to get to the good part. This chambers is an apartment that is seized all around. In other words, when you walk in the apartment, there's never no exit. So now think about that, and then think about what Jesus said in John 14:2. In my Father's house. No apartment that has no way out. Come on, that's hell. Heaven in my Father's house. There's many mansions. There's many rooms. There's many abiding places. In other words, if when God's through with me in this abiding place, He takes me to the next one. And He takes me to the next one. See, God's heaven is always expanding because why? Heaven's expanding right now before our eyes. Come on, it is. It is. Well, you can take a telescope and the Hubble telescope, and they can see how light is still going and the heavens are expanding in the natural. Remember, Jesus said those things in the natural paint you and I a picture of the spiritual. So in his house, there's many mansions. And so I will never be bored in heaven. I'll never be in a place where I'm not being stimulated, because God is always going to show me another facet of himself. He's going to bring me another revelation of the word of Jesus. I'm going to continually be being made into the image of Christ. Why would I want to settle for an apartment in hell when I can have a mansion in heaven? Amen. We got to teach people. We got to show them what God has for them. Amen. Okay, we're in Proverbs. Turn over to just a few verses about heaven, and I'll let you go. Go to Proverbs 16. I mean Psalm 16. Pardon me. And look what Jesus says about this wonderful heaven. In verse 10, to get the contrast. Psalm 16:10. Jesus, this is talking about David, but it's really painting the picture of Christ. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy holy one, Jesus, to see corruption. So here's hell. Now let's look at heaven. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, they are pleasures forevermore. This is heaven. Glory. See, everything everybody's looking for is a counterfeit in this world. It's a lie. So when I come out of hell because of the grace of God, I'm delivered from that because I get born again, I get saved, and I receive what Jesus has done for me. Jesus went to hell for me. I don't have to go. You don't have to go. And look what he said. He said, you'll show me the path of life. So heaven is about life. In other words, when we get there, the Bible tells us, and there will be no more death. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more working of the enemy. We're going to get a brand new heaven and a brand new earth that's never been tainted or touched by any of those things. And he's going to show me how to truly live by the one who is life. Amen. That's heaven. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and I'll be in his presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Now, I don't know about you. I've had a little bit of joy at different times in my life. I've never had fullness. We're talking about being completely full of joy. Can you imagine that when we worship the Lord and we're able to put some things out of our mind and we're able to put the flesh down and we step into that place in the Spirit and we actually worship the Lord and everything else falls down, how wonderful that is. But we probably get around 0.5%. But he makes a promise to you and I that in heaven there will be fullness. So what we've got to do is we've got to give the world a little bit of this percentage that we have to make them hungry. Come on, Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He's going to show us how to use this bait to get a hold of them, to pull them out of the world. All right. He said, at thy right hand are pleasures forever. See, the devil wants me to have a perverted pleasure. Come on, a fleshly pleasure. It lasts for just a moment of time. But the pleasure that's in the Spirit, it goes on and on and on. Okay, turn over to chapter 17. Look at the last verse, verse 15. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. See, you and I, we're going to be able to look into the face of Jesus. See, right now we talk about it. We want to. We have a desire to do that. We can't do that because we're in the flesh, even though we are born again. But one day we're going to be able to see Jesus in all of his glory. Isn't that going to be amazing? Can you imagine the brilliance, the light of him? See, Paul lost his natural sight. Come on, as the glory of the Lord shone that he might have his spiritual sight opened up. Of course, Jesus restored it through Ananias and all of those things. He laid hands on him. But you and I, we've got to see that God has some things for us. I will behold thy face in righteousness. Now notice this. I shall be satisfied. I've never been satisfied a day in my life. I'm sorry. Just being honest with you. I don't know what is wrong with me. I continually repent and I seek the Lord about this. But I mean, they can be 75 degrees. The sun just is clear. Here comes a good cool breeze. There'll be something come up in me that'll find something wrong with it. I don't know why. I'm dealing with this every day of my life for all of these years. And I'm going to get victory over it, amen, by the glory of God. But one day, I'm going to be completely satisfied. And we've got to tell people that this is available to them in the eternity. But we can have God gives us an earnest money. He does. Because we're sealed with His Spirit. That's earnest money if you look it up in the Greek. He gives us a little bit of redemptive understanding of what we're going to have in the eternity. He said, when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, I'm going to sleep one of these days in the natural. You're going to sleep one of these days in the natural. And we're going to wake up in a glorified body. We're going to wake up and we're going to be just like Jesus. Isn't that something? Come on, we got to tell the world. Come on, these little things of this natural body that are holding you down, that are pulling you apart, that are destroying you. One day, if you'll trust the Lord, you're going to have a body that cannot be touched by sin, sickness, and disease. It cannot be touched by the things of this world. You're going to be in the place where you look like the one who died for you. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Let's go to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, 13, I believe it is. The Spirit of God just brung Revelation 21 back to my mind. Revelation 21, 8 gives us 8 different types of sinners that you're going to be in hell with. I don't want to be in hell with those kind of people. So make a note of that. Write that down and study that out and be able to help people to see that they can be delivered from that. But we're looking at heaven in closing. Look at Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So in heaven, you and I are finally going to be at rest. We're not only going to be at rest, but we have an assurance that the work that we do for the Lord is going to follow us. That's why the Spirit of God brought up those scriptures in Matthew 6, 19, 20, and 21. We're laying things up in heaven. And now I understand he's talking about those who are working in this time frame, but he's also talking about you and I today. And so you have this assurance. So what you and I need to do, we need to say, Lord, I want you to show me the labor that I need to do. I need a simple statement of what's the labor that you're wanting me to do today that I can store up in heaven. What's the simple statement? What is the word that you're allowing me to do, that you've enabled me, that you've anointed me? See, you have giftings and you have callings and you have an anointing with those giftings and those callings to be able to succeed. And you're going to be able to rest from that work when you get there, but you're going to be able to rest in the reality that you brought it with you. That's what heaven's going to be like. The Bible says that the Lamb is the light. There's no darkness. Come on, heaven. Can you imagine the light of the Lord shining in you and through you continually? See, we can get here and we can worship the Lord and we can feel that light, that truth, the word is the light. We can feel that and how good it feels and how free it feels. And that's going to be the norm of heaven. Oh, we've got an awesome opportunity, great responsibility, amen. But we got to become heaven-minded. We've got to know that it's not just a place out there. Heaven is where God is. Well, God's in us. We can have this earnestment. We can have part of this right now, and we can have it as seed to give to somebody else, amen. Hallelujah. I'll close with this thought. I read this in this article and I thought this was so amazing. There was a grandpa, he was sitting out in the backyard with his granddaughter, and they were sitting there on a clear night, and they were looking up at all the constellations. They're looking at the stars and the moon and everything. And he starts talking to his granddaughter, and he starts telling her, this is the Big Dipper, this, and going through all of these things. And he's wanting to impart some things to her and teach her. And what he didn't know was that out of the mouth of babes, they're the ones that do the teaching. Amen. And so she looked over at him after he had told her all of these different things that are in the heavens. And she said, "Well, Grandpa, I don't know about that. But as I look up here and I see the bottom of heaven, as glorious as it is, what is the top side of heaven going to be like?" Come on, out of the mouth of babes. In other words, what she could see, she understood that that was the bottom of heaven to her. And she was thinking, what is the rest of heaven going to be like? See, that's what we've got to do. We've got to keep our focus on Jesus. Keep our focus on that light. And allow that to be an encouragement to us. Let that be the truth, the simple statement that drives home who the Lord is to us and what His message means. Amen. Through us. Father, in Jesus' name, we love You. We honor You. We praise You. I thank You for this group of people. I thank You for the destiny that we have. I thank You for what You're calling us into. Lord, help us live by the Word of God like never before. Let us see that just as real as heaven is, so is hell. But because of Your gifting, because of Your grace, because of Your mercy, we can walk into a new place and we can take the seeds that's sown in our own life and we can do the work while we have the opportunity, but we have the assurance that we can lay down and rest in You and those works which are people. Your souls, they're going to be able to come to that place of fulfillment, that place of destiny as well, when we allow You to make us fishers. You allow us to be working with You and You working with us hand in hand. We praise You for it. Lord, let it be in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, would you come and say, "Lord, I am so grateful. I'm so thankful for this time that You have trusted me to live in this point of time." See, God trusted you. He needed somebody in this last generation that He could count on. Now think about it. He called you to live right now in the last of the last days. There is a reason for that. And that reason is that you're willing. Come on, you're willing. You think God didn't say, "Oh, I've messed around and we're almost to the end and I put all the Isaiahs, I'm done, they're done gone. All the Daniels is gone. All the Jeremiahs is gone. All the Peters is, no. All the Pauls is gone." No. You gotta see who you are in Christ and what you can do. So in the name of Jesus, would you come tonight and let the Lord give you a simple statement of what He's called you to do. What He's wants to encourage you about. What He wants to reveal to you and show you the very harvest that is available to us. Would you come and just spend some time with the Lord? Let Him minister grace and mercy to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.